cloudy, and a high near 66. WISR News Time is just about 12:30. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave Mularkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Another springtime day. Boy, we're getting spoiled. I hope we don't get any snow. You know, that can happen in April. In fact, I was looking at the national weather forecast. Expecting blizzard conditions up in Minnesota and Wisconsin over the next day or so. A foot or more of snow. Now, it's not us, but just to let you know, it can happen. So enjoy these mild days, the sunshine, a little breezy, but enjoy. We have a good program today. Later, we're going to be speaking with a physician on the program today. We'll be talking with one of the doctors from Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. Dr. Robert Waltrip will be here. He is a specialist in treating shoulder pain and shoulder injuries. And I know that affects a lot of people, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. But first, we're going to talk about entertainment. Entertainment coming up locally here in Butler at the Tanglewood Center. Two guests are with us here in the studio. Chef George Schroth, who provides entertainment through the delicious meals that he prepares so often. George, good to see you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Also with us is Bill Reichert. We've talked with Bill before. He has a group called the Doo-Wop Shop. Am I right on that, Bill?
That's correct.
Yeah. And they're here to tell us about some of the entertainment that's coming up in the near term and the not-so-distant future at Tanglewood Center. First of all, Bill, I'll tell you what. Over the past several months, the past year or so, Tanglewood is really becoming the go-to place for entertainment for folks who like oldies and doo-wop music.
It is, and it's not by accident. We have strived over the last 15-18 months to let the Butler community, I mean all of Butler County, know that the Tanglewood is not just a senior center, but it's a place where seniors can go to have a lot of fun and enjoyment. When I say seniors, they could be a 50 and over type senior, because the type of events we put on and the type of shows we put on has been attracting at least 50 and over, and boy, do they love the entertainment we've been bringing in.
Yeah, good stuff. It's not an age anymore, you know. It's not a chronological age, you know. Besides that, you start getting stuff from AARP when you're approaching 50 anyway.
So. You're right.
There's one show coming up in the near future, George Schroth, that's already a sellout. That's your Branson show.
Yes, it is. Branson on the Road, directly from Branson, Missouri. We sort of caught them on their way out of New York, coming through Pennsylvania. Their next entertainment is going to be in Lancaster at those big venues down there.
Oh, yeah.
So we caught them on the way through, and they agreed to come down and perform for us, and we're happy about it.
They're going to be at Tanglewood this weekend, but there are no tickets left.
No, we are sold out.
Well, that shows you how popular these events are becoming.
And that's happening a little more often than we'd like. We wish we could stretch the walls to say. But, for example, last year we had a group called Pure Gold. They sold out. We had the Vogues, obviously. They sold out. And this summer coming up, George, if you'll allow me to give a little sneak preview.
Please.
But in August we have the Skyliners.
Oh, boy.
And that'll be a sellout.
Absolutely.
So if they don't get the tickets, they, meaning the our wonderful residents from Butler County, if they don't get their tickets early, then I'm afraid they're we'll have another sellout, and some of the people at the end might miss out.
Folks, were you aware that the Tanglewood Center has become such a great venue for music here locally? You don't have to go to Pittsburgh anymore. You don't have to go to the Palace in Greensburg. They're good places, but right here in Butler, some really, really great entertainment. So, Branson, I have to mention Branson. I've never been there. It's in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first heard about it, I couldn't imagine how they could ever set up such a music center in the Ozark Mountains. Why did they ever pick Branson? I have no idea. But there's a lot of halls that have been built there, a lot of TV, folks who have TV variety shows have set up shop there. But they'll be coming to Butler this weekend. Do you oft times have things to eat whenever these concerts are presented, Chef George?
Pretty much all the time, and I try to make the menu suited to the occasion. The Branson folks are going to have barbecued beef brisket, fried chicken, lionized potatoes. I'm calling the beans campfire baked beans. There'll be three different kinds of beans in a mild tomato meat sauce, and we're looking at possibly apple cobbler or something for dessert. Bran muffins instead of a natural roll. So it's fun to put something together. Not too far off center, though.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stay where people will enjoy it.
But still, a little bit of an Arkansas flavor
right
there. Yeah. What else is coming up in the near future? Mr. Sixey's doing something there, isn't he?
Oh, Mr. Sixey's going to be in there next month on the 25th, I believe.
Yep, May 25th.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mr. Sixties is one of our radio personalities here at WISR.
He's heard here Saturday mornings on WISR every Saturday, yeah.
I think we've turned him a little bit into Mr. Fifties and Sixties because I've been in there sitting with him on a couple of co-hosting some of his shows, and I think we got him falling in love with doo-wop now. So he's a little Mr. Fifties and a lot of Mr. Sixties.
Doo-wop did continue, though, into the Sixties for at least a while, didn't it?
It did. It did, I think it was because we were kind of spurred on by the Beatles. We tried to keep that doo-wop, keep the sound alive of doo-wop singing, and then of course by mid '60s we got steamrolled by that big wave that came over the pond, you might say. The
British invasion.
Yes, that's what it was.
The British invasion. Tell us a little bit about your group, Bill Reichert, Doo-Wop Shop.
Well, the Doo-Wop Shop, again, by its name, we focus on the sweet sounds of the 50s and 60s, the group harmony type sounds,
mm-hmm.
Where the lead takes off and sings songs like Sincerely, Earth Angel, stuff like that, and the group in the background is providing that beautiful harmony, and as the harmony goes through the song, it kind of moves the song along. And I think the people that enjoy doo-wop are people that also enjoyed that big band sound. If you remember the doo-wop from the trombones and the trumpets when the big band era was in town, well, those horn instruments were replaced by two or three or four background singers who provided the doo-wah, doo-wah in the back while the lead singer sang the song in the front. And a lot of the hit songs, for example, Blue Moon by the Marcells was a redo in a doo-wop fashion of a 40s hit, Blue Moon.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those 30s and 40s songs were redone in a 50s style and went right to the top.
So that's where the name doo-wop comes from
yep.
Vocalists imitating the doo-wah, doo-wah of trombones. And
remember the old plunger on the end of the trumpet? Bah, wah,
oh, yeah,
wah.
The mute that they would put on.
Yep.
I think it's called a mute, isn't it? I never played the trumpet.
And then they'd open it up, doo-wah, doo-wah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the vocalist in the background then would kind of do that in harmony over and around the lead singer.
How'd you get started in this singing business, Bill Reichert?
Well, it goes back to New York as a teenager. The song Looking for an Echo says it all. As a group of teenagers hanging out, we would look for any of the storefronts on the main streets in our hometown area, any of the deep-set storefronts where the further in you went, away from the sidewalk and around the window, you'd have the echo coming from the glass and surrounding walls.
Mm-hmm.
So we even went to the beach where the little tunnel was that you'd walk under to the, and we'd stop and sing in the middle of the tunnel. I remember we would say, hello, and you see how many times it, and once it answered twice, you were in the right spot. So
kind of like singing in the shower. Everybody sounds good singing in the shower, right?
Yeah, George sounds real good singing in the shower. That's what your wife told me last week.
Nobody has to listen, that's why.
Well, she says you took a banjo into the shower. What's that all about?
Yeah, I'm trying to get ready for this group here. I'm going to play along.
Ah, that's a funny thing.
Kidding. So we have Mr. 60s, who's presenting an oldies dance show. And I guess it's going to be all requests, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming up on May 25th. Anything else on the agenda as we head into the summer months?
Well, in June, we have a group called Platinum coming in. It's a Pittsburgh-born and raised group. They do mostly 70s, 80s, R&B, and Motown. And we've had a lot of our seniors who love the Motown. A lot of our audience loves the R&B, the 70s, 80s, and Motown sound. And so we thought we'd bring Platinum in for a change of pace. And then in July, we have, again, my group, the Doo-Wop Shop. We'll do one show. And then we're bringing in what we call Platinum 2. Those are the two lead singers from the group Platinum that are coming in June, are going to come back in July. And do their special show, which is a tribute to Motown. So the Doo-Wop Shop will be doing 50s, 60s, and the Platinum 2, Kim and Darrow, will be doing 70s, Motown, and R&B. So it'll be a nice, like, four and a half decades of music. And people will be able to dance, sing, do what they want. That's July. And then August, we have the Skyliners already booked. And I won't go past August because we have some surprises that are coming. But we're booked up through December.
When can you buy tickets for these concerts?
Well, like you said, you can buy them anytime. We don't always have them printed at that moment, but we try to print them at least a month ahead so we have them to offer to the people that are at the concert that night should they want to come back the next month. I might add that we do other things such as the Beatles. Johnny Cash was down there, an impersonator. The Jaggers was down there. So we sort of lean to 50s, 60s, 70s, but we do go off onto other venues where people can come down that they like. Johnny Cash sold out for us, too, and he was wonderful. The Beatles sold out when I had them down there.
Was this a Beatles impression group?
Yep, it was called Beatlemania, what it was called now, but it's a couple of different ones like that, and they were fantastic to work with and very on spot with their music.
All of these concerts, performances are in Coleman Hall, is
Coleman
that what it's
Hall,
called?
Yes.
Which is the big room at Tanglewood. And that's also the kitchen's right there. So
right, close to the food.
Very handy for
you. we set the buffet lines up on the dance floor, feed the people in about a half an hour, and then get the dance floor cleared and please up any vegetables, and then go to dancing.
Is it possible, due to circumstances, people couldn't come for dinner? Could they still come for the concert?
Well, sometimes they do. And in this case, the tickets are sold out, so chances are not.
Yeah, no problem.
But there have been people walked in late, and we charge them less money since they're not getting a dinner, and they can sit down and have an evening of entertainment.
So don't think of the Tanglewood Center as just for seniors anymore. And don't be so quick to categorize seniors to begin with, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it earlier. You get your AARP card at 50, and that's kind of like opens the door. And I remember when I got my AARP, I called up my mother. I said, why did you tell them I was 50? I thought my mom said something.
Hey, if you're a Beatles fan and you can remember the Beatles when they actually invaded the United States, that's more than 50 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
So hang on, gang.
You know, one of the things that I found very interesting, I work at Kelly Chevrolet over on Route 8, and I probably speak to two or three customers a day from there when they're waiting, getting their oil change and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to mention purposely to this 50 and over crowd, have you guys ever been to the Tanglewood? Where's the Tanglewood? I've heard of it. What do you know of it? I know it's the senior center. And so, firsthand, it's amazing to me just how many people in the Butler County area, just don't know what's going on at the Tanglewood. And that's one of the reasons why we were very happy that we were able to talk with you today about the Tanglewood. But George has the monthly pork chop and meatloaf dinners, the first Wednesday of every month. But we also have bus trips. They're not only for entertainment and tourism, but they're casino bus trips. We have a book sale coming up. George, we have a purse sale, I think, coming
purse
up
bash.
In May.
Purse bash always sells out.
Yeah, then the antique shows. We have weekly bingo. Now it's on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It's become mm-hmm. such a popular thing. Craft shows, just a lot of things happen at the Tanglewood now, and we hope that people just drop by and just say, hey, can I see the place? We'd be happy to walk them around.
Well, just in case there are out-of-towners who don't know exactly where the Tanglewood is, it's just off Hanson Avenue. It's pretty much right across the street from where the old Pullman Standard plant used to be, if you've been around for a while, or it's pretty much right behind the new Speedway, if you haven't been around for a while, along Hanson Avenue there. Easy to find. Yeah.
And we do a lot of catering as well. I have three or four class reunions booked this summer. And those people are, again, they're in my age group, a lot of them, and school was always right above us. So I got weddings booked this summer, class reunions, baby showers. We have all those things down there. I'm available to do the catering. However, if you choose another caterer, they're very welcome.
Mm-hmm. What's the magic, Bill Reichert, about, and I hate to use the term oldies because, first of all, it's overused and it's not really accurate, but enduring music from the past. I'm a big fan of Turner Classic Movies, TCM on TV. I love the old movies, good ones. There were bad ones way back then, too. But they've been featuring for the last few days some of the old Fred Astaire musicals. And goodness gracious, the music from those things, the Gershwin music, they can't take that away from me. From Shall We Dance? I just heard that the other day. I think, oh, my goodness, what a great song. You know, what a great song. Now, that predates the doo-wop era.
It does.
But it's still good stuff. And there was a song rearranged by a group called The Happenings, mm-hmm. called I Got Rhythm. You would remember that from the late 60s, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. And that's a Gershwin tune, for goodness sakes, just rearranged and updated.
I think what made the songs endure is it's kind of like sports nowadays. If you get the kids involved in sports at a young age, mm-hmm. they'll grow up to be sports fans. If you get the younger generation involved in singing, and it was easy back then because all you needed was a street light, a couple of guys, four guys, and maybe if you were lucky, a deep set storefront so you could have the little echo. And you didn't need guitars or instruments. You could do it a cappella. Mm-hmm. And some people remember those days where you just hung out and inevitably three or four guys would just break out in a song. I was fortunate enough in my career, doo-wop career, to sing with the Mystics, who recorded Hushabye. And the story, and I'll make it quick, was they called the Boys from Brooklyn. And you had 15 or so guys hanging out in a park in Bensonhurst. And several went on to become the Mystics, several went on to become the Classics, and several went on to become the Passions. So you had the Mystics, Classics, and Passions, and between them they had at least a dozen gold records. Well, in my career, I was fortunate enough as a member of the Mystics to do the onstage reunion of the Mystics, Classics, and Passions at Madison Square Garden, and people from all five boroughs just flocked in.
Wow.
And by the time the song was, the first opening song was Looking for an Echo, and it would kind of told the story of what we all did. And by the time all three groups had hit the stage, there were 13 guys singing in harmony, all right, and I was one of them. I actually stopped singing so I could hear it, all right, and then somebody looked at me, and I kept singing. I was so caught up in the moment that it was a thrill to be part of that. But that's what keeps it endured in the people. They were able to go to the shows and relate to the music. And they didn't have to rhyme. They didn't have to stand up and participate unless they wanted to. They just got up and sang. And that's what keeps it alive.
I don't know. Maybe it's a generational thing. But I was watching the news last night, and there was a clip about Cardi B. She's a rap singer today, and they played a little bit of her stuff, 15, 20 seconds or so, and I'm thinking to myself, 50 years from now, or 60 years from now, are people still going to be listening to this? The answer has to be no.
Right.
There's no way that people look back on this and say, oh, those were the days, huh?
One of the things I liked when I first met George is that George wasn't sold on one type of music. What he wanted to do is provide good entertainment for the residents here in Butler. And he's a visionary. He's not only an amazing chef and cook, all right, but he's not afraid to take risks. Bringing this group from Branson in, at the cost it cost us, all right, to get them up here and to host them and put them up in a hotel. By the way, we are putting them up at one of our wonderful Butler hotels downtown, mm-hmm. the Suites Marriott.
Ah, the Spring Hill Suites by Marriott.
Yep.
Well, I love that place. That's pretty luxurious.
But George had the vision to say, you know what? I think we've got a Butler crowd here that would also appreciate the quality of a Grand Ole Opry-style show. And I give him credit. He was right on the money. I was fortunate enough to have the contact because they're coming back to Pittsburgh. For those who missed our show here at the Branson, Branson on the Road will be in the area on May 18th, Saturday, and they'll be at the Legacy Theater. That's a theater that I perform at during the holidays with another group I'm with called the Doo-Wop Big Band. But the Legacy Theater is the way I was able to meet Branson on the Road because they're coming back there for another show, and they were very popular and sold out there. But I give George credit. He saw that people in this area would love it.
Where's the Legacy Theater, by the way? I'm not familiar with it.
That's in McCandless, right behind the Passavant Hospital.
I know where we are now. Yeah.
UPMC, after they built the hospital down in McCandless, they built this UMC community for independent living. And at the end of the community, they built a beautiful theater called the Legacy. Mm-hmm. And that's where they have some of the quality entertainment. But people still have to go all the way down there. So we were fortunate enough with George's vision to be able to bring them into Butler.
Let's take a break. We'll chat for a few more minutes with Bill and with George in just a couple of minutes on WISR. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you experiencing chronic shoulder pain and want to learn more about possible solutions? Then join Dr. Robert Waltrip of Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers on Thursday, April 25th at 5:30 p.m. inside the Butler Memorial Hospital for a free program on understanding and addressing chronic shoulder pain. Refreshments will be provided, but seating is limited. To register, call 412-367-5812, extension 186. That's 412-367-5814, extension 186 by April 18th, and learn more at TriRiversMSK.com.
When you want a home-cooked meal at a reasonable price, go to Michael's Restaurant. Michael's will have a fish fry every Friday during Lent, and be sure to save room for a homemade dessert. Michael's Restaurant on 422 near the Butler Fairgrounds.
If you're struggling to find a gym that's right for you, try the Fitness Center at Applewood Chiropractic. You don't have to be a chiropractic patient, and it's the only executive-level fitness center in Butler. Open 7 days a week, the Fitness Center provides a clean, safe, unintimidating environment with modern equipment, fitness classes, and a full-time staff to assist you. Call 724-283-8894 or visit applewoodchiro.com. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive, Butler.
Welcome back. We're chatting with George Schroth and with Bill Reichert about some of the entertainment coming up at the Tanglewood Center just off Hanson Avenue here in Butler. There's some pretty good stuff. Pretty good food there, too. You do your stuffed pork chop dinners every month, Wednesday.
First Wednesday of the
month. You also have, sometimes you have an extra dinner in there, don't you?
When you have five Wednesdays, you like to throw another one in there so they don't forget about me. And I call it family and friends. And we do a stuffed boneless breast of chicken or homemade ham loaf. And it goes with the same type of food that the other one does, same price, $10, no tax, no service charge, no tips. And it's not quite as popular because it doesn't run quite as often, but I'd like to see it grow this summer.
Are you satisfied with the way the entertainment has taken off at Tanglewood? You must be, George.
My goodness. Absolutely. You know, you come out of the doldrums of winter. Sometimes it's tough to get people down there when you want to run a band or a show dance and it's snowing or it's ice cold. It gets down below freezing. It's tough to get them out. So whenever the weather comes, like you said, now people are ready to get out and come and see something, and that's why they're coming to see our stuff.
Bill Reichert grew up in New York City. How did you end up in Western Pennsylvania, Bill?
Well, my son invited us up to his new home in Erie, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. where he took a job with UPMC and then went back to college over at Mercyhurst. And we went up to visit him one day, and after 9/11, my wife and I decided maybe it's time to follow our son to the you know, the heartland, and get out of that urban area and urban environment. A lot of traffic. So we went up to Erie to visit, and we knew we didn't want to be in Erie. But we got on the highway and came down, and the first place we stopped was Grove City, and my wife fell in love with it. But there were no subdivisions, so we got on 79, came down a little more, and we wound up in Butler.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was 15 years ago. We love it.
Is your son still in Erie?
He is. He's in his 12th year with UPMC, and he covers about 17 counties now. So he's out and about and all over the western part of the state.
Well, it's a quick drive to visit him, hour and a half, 2 hours. You're there, you know, right up 79.
Just far enough.
Do you perform a lot these days?
With the doo-wop shop, we do several shows a year, and with the Pittsburgh doo-wop big band, we do 7 or 8 shows a year. The big band is a little more difficult because we have 16 in the group as far as musicians go, plus 2 singers and a musical director. So we have 19 mouths to feed, and you have to have a larger venue to be able to do that. But we have shows coming up, not that I want to take time away from our Tanglewood event, but we do have shows coming up in June. We're over at the Oaks Theater in Oakmont, and we're doing, at the end of July, we're going to be at the Lamp Theater in Irwin, and then 2 Christmas shows at the Legacy Theater. So we're busy. It's on our website.
How do you memorize all the lyrics for those tunes? Goodness gracious. You know, most of us will sing along when we hear something on the radio, but we can do 2 or 3 lines. And then we fake it from thereafter. And sometimes, as you know, I'm sure you've seen these books about misheard lyrics where people are singing something totally different from the song. You can't do that when you're up there behind the microphone.
You're not supposed to. But I would say that's about the only thing that keeps me, how can I say, sharp,
mm-hmm.
Is the need to remember. I remember taking a sabbatical years ago and doing a lot of fishing when I sold my business in New York. And after 6 months of not having any conversation at all, I barely could talk. You just wasn't, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
And so I just got right back into something new, something else, and thank goodness I was able to find, there were words in my vocabulary, and I refound them.
You can't use cue cards or anything when you're singing on stage either, can you?
I wouldn't say cue cards, but if you go on the ships, and we do a lot of cruises, my wife and I, a lot of the musicians on the cruises have a little tablet with their words, and it's right attached to their microphone on an angle where all they really do is glance down, and you see them just be able to touch the screen, it'll change to the next word. So there's some stuff coming around now that makes it a little easier to kind of fudge it.
And sometimes it's kind of nice to hear somebody doing it live and make a mistake. You know, it's real. I can remember I saw Simon and Garfunkel once they were still together, so it was a long, long time ago. And they started a tune, and they got off track, and they got into the second verse, and finally Paul Simon said, "Would you folks mind if we just started all over again?" Everybody loved it, you know. They applauded, and they started over again, and it was good stuff. Well, lots to see at Tanglewood. Keep us posted, George. Bill, keep us posted on this. We'll be happy to help you publicize it, you know.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good to see you. George Roth and Bill Reichert visiting with us here today, bringing us up to date on future entertainment at Tanglewood.
All they have to do, Dave, is to go to our website, and they'll be able to see the calendar and pick out something that they like.
Sounds good. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Robert Waltrip. He is a shoulder specialist with Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Center. So please stick around. We'll be back to talk with a good doctor in just a couple of minutes. Be right back.
Why does getting out of bed hurt so much? Medical marijuana may be your solution. Compassionate Certification Centers has already helped thousands to manage pain easily by calling 888-316-9085 or sign up online at cccregistered.com. You are eligible for your medical marijuana card. Anyone suffering from migraine headaches, back pain, joint pain, arthritis, or inflammatory diseases, you can get your medical marijuana card. Visit cccregistered.com or call 888-316-9085 today.
For more than 130 years, the name Concordia has meant quality care. Today, Concordia Visiting Nurses has provided high-quality, skilled nursing and a variety of therapy services to people in and around our community. Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to foster your recovery right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Welcome back, good friends, and on the next segment of It's Your Turn, we're going to be talking with Dr. Robert Waltrip from Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. Dr. Waltrip does an awful lot of work with chronic shoulder pain. That's kind of his area of specialty. Dr. Waltrip, we've talked with you before, but it's been a long time. Nice to have you with us again.
Well, thanks for having me.
Shoulder pain, chronic shoulder pain. It's pretty common these days, isn't it, Doctor?
Yes, it's very common. It's one of the most common things that people complain about when they see their primary care doctors, and it gives me a lot of business.
So what happens? I think most of us are familiar with the gradual deterioration of the knee joint over time. When you get to be a certain age, a lot of people tend to have knee problems. Same with the shoulder. The shoulder doesn't take nearly as much strain or weight as the knee does, right?
You're exactly right. Because the shoulder is not a weight-bearing joint, it doesn't have the same stresses that you have on the knee or the hip, which are weight-bearing joints. But the shoulder still can end up getting arthritic and tends to be more of a genetic problem. The shoulder joint is actually the third most commonly replaced joint for arthritis. Now, having said all that, shoulder arthritis is not the most common thing that I treat. It's actually much more common to have problems with either bursitis or with rotator cuff issues, which are a little different.
Well, let's talk about that. What's the difference between arthritis and bursitis?
So the bursa is a thin layer of tissue that sits right over the top of the rotator cuff, and it can become inflamed. When it becomes inflamed, it's called bursitis. And it will often lead to patients having pain with reaching, having pain with overhead activities. Fortunately, it's something that can be easily treated. We typically will give patients anti-inflammatory medication, sometimes a cortisone injection, and usually some exercises or some therapy, and we can often treat patients without surgery for that problem.
And arthritis in the shoulder is what?
So arthritis is a little bit different. Arthritis is just wearing down of the cartilage. In the shoulder joint, when the cartilage wears down, the shoulder can often become inflamed, and sometimes we can treat that with a cortisone injection and it will help. Sometimes we'll have patients take anti-inflammatory medications, but if patients are just not getting better, we will actually do a replacement of the shoulder, and that is a very successful operation for getting rid of pain in patients that have bad arthritis.
I'm trying to remember back to my my general health class in undergraduate school, which was very cursory, but I know that the hip joint is ball and socket type joint. Is it the same for the shoulder, or is it different?
No, the shoulder joint is actually very unique. The shoulder joint has a relatively shallow shoulder socket, and then the ball is relatively large. I will often give the analogy of a golf ball sitting on a tee just to let patients understand the relationship of the socket and the ball. that comes into play when we're replacing the joint or even treating the shoulder for other issues. It's very important to have everything treated just right to get all the soft tissues around the joint balanced. In other words, we don't want the patient to be unstable, and we want to give them the best function possible. So we need to make sure that all the tissues around the shoulder are in the best position that we can get them.
When we talk about chronic shoulder pain, we mean, and I'm giving a layperson's definition here, continuing pain, chronic shoulder pain. What are some of the signs or symptoms that an individual may have a chronic shoulder problem, doctor?
Well, as far as chronic goes, we generally think of pain being chronic when it's lasted for more than a few months. Acute pain would be an injury-type pain where patients would have something over a course of days to weeks, but chronic would be more of pain over several months. Pain over several months can sometimes be related to bursitis, like we talked about. Sometimes it can be related to a rotator cuff tear, even without an injury. It's important to recognize that most rotator cuff tears are not actually caused by an injury. They're often from aging and from degeneration of the rotator cuff. So patients with chronic pain can sometimes have a rotator cuff tear without even actually having an injury to the shoulder. And then also, as we mentioned, arthritis can occur in the shoulder, even though it's not as common as weight-bearing joints.
I want to talk a little bit more about this rotator cuff repair. First of all, maybe not an easily understood term, rotator cuff. That's a muscle, right? Rotator cuff muscle, am I correct on that?
You are correct. There are actually four separate muscles of the rotator cuff, and they form tendons that attach to the bone. When we're talking about rotator cuff tears, we're generally talking about the tendon pulling away from the bone. As we get older, that tendon doesn't have a great blood supply, and it tends to degenerate, and just regular use in some patients can lead to a rotator cuff tear.
I know I had an acquaintance of mine a few years back who had rather severe pain when she tried to reach up, like to grab something out of a top shelf in the kitchen cupboard or something like that. And I knew another guy, who was an older gentleman, who was unable to lift his arm above a certain height. These are all signs of rotator cuff or perhaps something else wrong with the shoulder.
So if there's weakness to the point they can't lift the arm, it's often due to a rotator cuff tear. There are other things that can cause pain and difficulty lifting the arm as well, but rotator cuff problems will generally cause pain with reaching or weakness. They often will cause night pain as well. Night pain is a classic symptom of a rotator cuff tear.
So what's the surgical process, Dr. Robert Waltrip, for repairing a rotator cuff tear?
Well, first of all, I would say that not all rotator cuff tears necessarily need surgery.
Oh.
But in patients that have a significant tear where the tendon is pulled away from the bone, they won't heal themselves, and we will often bring them over and repair them. By bring them over, what I mean is we take the tendon and we pull it over to the bone and then we reattach it. Fortunately, we have arthroscopic techniques that allow us to do that with small incisions rather than the older techniques where a large incision was needed to repair the tendon.
You don't have to go in very deep, right? All of these muscles and tendons are fairly close to the surface of the shoulder.
Yes and no. It depends on the size of the patient. It depends on the thickness of the deltoid muscle. The deltoid muscle is the large muscle that envelops the whole shoulder girdle.
Okay.
So we actually go through the deltoid, splitting the fibers of the deltoid to get deep to the rotator cuff in order to do the repair.
Long recovery period from rotator cuff surgery, or does that depend on how extensive it is?
So it depends partly on how extensive it is, but in general, we're waiting on the body to heal itself. So we take the tendon and we bring it over and reattach it where it came from, and then the body has to heal it. That generally takes on the order of 3 to 4 months for it to completely heal down to the bone. That's how long it takes to regain a new blood supply to allow healing.
And what does the patient do during this period of several months? Have to wear a sling or something?
So there's often a sling for the first 6 weeks. Depending on the size of the tear, patients will start therapy at some point. I will often have patients start therapy within 2 or 3 days, For patients with larger tears, we'll sometimes wait 6 weeks or so before we start therapy to minimize the stresses early on.
How do you tell if someone actually has a rotator cuff tear? Do you do this with imaging?
So the history and the physical examination will often be suggestive of a tear. And then often we will get an MRI. In some patients that aren't able to get an MRI, we can use an ultrasound machine to diagnose a rotator cuff tear.
Why wouldn't someone be able to get an MRI?
Patients with pacemakers are often unable to get an MRI. Some patients with spinal cord stimulators can't get an MRI. Patients that work with metal, that have metal in their eye for any particular reason, can't get an MRI. There are certain patients that just can't get an MRI because of the risks associated with it, usually due to metal in their body.
Mm-hmm. Yes, MRI. The M in MRI stands for magnetic, I think, doesn't it? So we're talking
magnetic
about
resonance imaging. You are correct.
If you got any sort of metal in your body, that's a real, real danger. So you mentioned that shoulder replacement surgery is the third most common type of joint replacement. Number one would be knee, I suppose, right?
Knee and then hip and then shoulder. That's correct.
Hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about shoulder replacement in a moment. We need to take a break, though, so we'll do that, and we'll be back and talk more with Dr. Robert Waltrip. He's a physician with Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. We're chatting with him here on It's Your Turn on WISR, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes after these messages.
Central Electric Cooperative understands the importance of teaching electrical safety. Our free safety programs for adults and youth demonstrate electrical dangers. Our Safety City program is geared towards youth and can be brought to any organization, event, or school. It shows how to avoid everyday dangerous electrical situations. We offer live high-voltage demonstrations at our headquarters in Parker for both adult and youth organizations. We also have a first responders electrical hazards training. First responders know emergencies can involve electric lines and equipment and are likely to be first on the scene. Our program helps them to identify and handle situations involving electrical equipment and stay safe. Contact us today to schedule your free presentation. Together we can save lives and prevent potentially hazardous electric-related situations. At Central Electric, safety is everyone's responsibility. My name is Emily Bartley, and my personal safety goal is to go home safe to my sons, Joe and Jace, every day. What's yours? This institution is an equal opportunity employer and provider.
One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. What do? They package your items for shipping. How convenient is that? You can ship any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, that's your choice, but they'll package your items up. They also offer copying service, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Open Monday through Friday, 140 Shockey Lane. It's just off Newcastle Road in Butler, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Call them at 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. We're talking on this segment of It's Your Turn with Dr. Robert Waltrip. He is a specialist, he's a physician at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers and focuses his work a great deal on shoulder pain, shoulder injuries, chronic shoulder pain. So let's talk a little bit, Doctor, about shoulder replacement. What exactly do you do when you're replacing a shoulder joint? You replace the ball, the socket, or both, or what happens?
Well, it depends. Often we will replace the ball and the socket both. Generally, a complete shoulder replacement or a total shoulder replacement involves replacement of both the socket and the ball. That will generally lead to the best pain relief for patients that have arthritis.
Is the recovery period longer for shoulder replacement than it is for rotator cuff repair?
So that's an interesting question. Even though shoulder replacement is done with an open incision as opposed to an arthroscopic procedure like most rotator cuff repairs, patients frequently are feeling better more quickly after a shoulder replacement. I think part of the reason for that is that the patients have arthritis and have developed a tolerance over a long time to some of their pain, and they're used to dealing with pain, and then I think that they're so happy afterwards to get rid of that pain that they tend to recover fairly quickly.
You also do knee surgery, too, do you not?
I do arthroscopic knee surgery. I do ACL reconstruction as well.
Mm-hmm. Where are your primary clinical sites, Dr. Waltrip?
I work out of the Butler Health System Crossroads campus on Route 38 at the intersection of Routes 422 and 68. I also work at the Cranberry and Mars office, which is on Route 228. And then a half a day a week, I work out of the Lemieux Center in Cranberry.
Is there a master phone number to get in touch with you or any of the other doctors at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers?
Yes, our phone number is 1-866-874-7483.
There are a number of other clinical sites for Tri-Rivers as well. Butler Clinic.
There are. There's one at the Clearview area, and then there's one in the North Hills, and we also have an office in Slippery Rock.
I was looking at your bio, and I see that you graduated from the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and then you trained under Dr. James Andrews. There are a lot of sports fans, baseball fans in particular, who might know that name pretty well. Can you talk more about your experiences at Johns Hopkins and training under Dr. James Andrews?
Sure. I was very fortunate to have a fellowship with Dr. Andrews. I spent a year working with him and primarily did knee, shoulder, and elbow work, and I did a lot of arthroscopy, basically putting the arthroscope in joints to treat problems arthroscopically as opposed to treating them open. That's where I learned a lot of the complex shoulder techniques that I do currently in my practice. Dr. Andrews was a wonderful mentor, and he taught me a lot.
Arthroscopy, and depending on what type of arthroscopic surgery you're doing, it takes a couple or three very small incisions, right? You put a tiny camera in one, and you put instruments into another hole or something like that?
That's correct. That's the way that we fix most rotator cuff tears these days, and also the way that we fix most problems within the knee joint, whether it's for a meniscus tear or even the majority of an ACL reconstruction is done arthroscopically as well.
Makes a big difference, doesn't it? Why would that be?
It makes a huge difference. It lessens the pain. It makes the recovery process much easier. It makes the physical therapy afterwards go much more smoothly. It's a big advance as opposed to some of the more invasive older techniques with larger incisions.
Now, some of the surgical procedures, of course, still require the larger incisions, and that would be the case, I suppose, for all joint replacements, right?
That is correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other new technological advances, particularly in shoulder surgery, that have improved patient outcomes?
I think there's been a recent revolution in treating shoulder arthritis. The shoulder replacement now is done with newer techniques that allow three-dimensional computer planning prior to the operation. I actually will get a CT scan of patients before surgery, and I feed the data into the computer, and I have a software program that will give me three-dimensional images of their shoulder joint. I can select the appropriate prosthesis and position it on that three-dimensional image. It takes out a lot of the guesswork that we used to have before we did it that way. It allows us to really improve the precision of the surgery, which I think is going to give patients the best outcome, and it's going to maximize how long their prosthesis is going to last. And we can do that for standard shoulder replacements. We can also do that for reverse shoulder replacements, which is another type of replacement that we do.
What's a reverse replacement? Is that like a reverse mortgage?
So reverse replacements started in Europe probably about 15 or 20 years ago, and more recently over the past 10 to 15 years in this country. The nice thing about reverse replacements is that we can treat a whole segment of the population that we previously did not have a good answer for. Patients that had rotator cuff tears that were so bad that they could not be fixed can now be treated with a reverse shoulder replacement, and they can regain function. You mentioned earlier someone that you knew that couldn't even lift their arm as a result of a rotator cuff tear. A patient like that is probably not going to have a repairable rotator cuff tear, but we can do something called a reverse replacement and actually allow them to regain function so they can reach at least a head level and sometimes a little bit overhead, which is something that they couldn't do before. It also gets rid of their pain from the rotator cuff tear. It's a tremendous advancement. The two biggest advancements in the past decade in shoulder surgery have been the computer navigation or computer software, as well as the ability to do reverse replacements and treat a lot of problems that we couldn't treat before.
I know. I've heard a little bit about knee joint replacement. I know that the replacement parts are sometimes plastic. I think at one time they used ceramic, maybe a little bit of metal. Same thing in a shoulder replacement joint. Is that what the replacement parts are made of?
Yes, it's very similar. It's a metal piece that goes in the humerus, which is the arm bone, and then there's actually a plastic piece that goes on the socket for a standard replacement. Or with a reverse replacement, the reason it's called a reverse replacement is because we shift the anatomy in the opposite direction. We actually put a ball onto the socket, and then we put a plastic piece on top of the metal piece that fits in the humerus bone. It sounds a little complex, and it is a little bit different. It alters the mechanics of the shoulder to allow the deltoid muscle to move the arm. That deltoid is that big muscle that surrounds the whole shoulder joint. If you don't have a functional rotator cuff tear, the deltoid can take over and allow you to move the arm with the reverse.
How do you attach these parts? Are they cemented onto the existing bone? Are they screwed on, or how's that work?
It's a combination. It depends on whether it's a standard replacement or whether it's a reverse replacement. For the standard replacement, the plastic piece is generally cemented, and then there's a press-fit central peg that goes in the middle of the shoulder socket. The piece that goes in the arm bone is press fit. It's a tapered wedge fit into the humerus bone, so we don't need cement on the humerus side. For a reverse replacement, the ball is actually screwed onto the shoulder socket, and then it's a press fit on the arm bone side.
You don't always need surgery. We're talking about that because, I don't know about you listeners, but I'm just agog, really, at the marvels of modern medicine and what doctors like Dr. Waltrip can do. But you don't always have to have surgery, right? There are other ways to treat chronic shoulder pain, depending on what the cause is.
Absolutely. There are definitely other ways to treat shoulder pain. We always try to treat people non-operatively if that's a reasonable thing to do. I would say that the biggest problem are people that ignore chronic shoulder pain. People that ignore pain, it can be a problem if they happen to have a rotator cuff tear, because a rotator cuff tear, well, first of all, you don't need surgery if it's really small or if it's a partial tear. You can often do therapy or rehabilitation. But if you have a substantial tear that's pulled away from the bone, you do in that situation want to get it fixed. With time, those tears can get bigger, and they can sometimes get to the point that they're not repairable. That's why it's important not to ignore chronic shoulder pain and to have it checked out. You really want to try to avoid surgery if you can, but if you need an operation, you want to have the smallest procedure that you can have. You don't want to ignore a tear, have it progress and get larger, and end up needing a reverse shoulder replacement when you could have potentially benefited from a relatively simple arthroscopic procedure.
I need one more break here. I have two more questions that I want to ask Dr. Waltrip, so please stick with us, and we'll get to those in just a moment or so. One of our sponsors on the program today is Butler Motor Tours. Boy, they have some great trips coming up as we head into the real meat and potatoes of the vacation season. Wow, the summer months, that's when most folks go on vacation. If you only have time or the budget only allows for a short trip, how about a one-day excursion to ride the Titusville Railroad? They're taking a one-day trip June 15th. That's a beautiful, beautiful trip. Or maybe you have a little more time. In late June, you could go up to Niagara Falls, Canada. Just a reminder, you need a passport these days to get to Canada. They're also taking a wonderful trip to New England, to the state of Maine, in late June. They're going to see Noah's Ark and the Creation Museum. It's in northern Kentucky, just over the Ohio River from Cincinnati. And they're going to Branson, too, in mid-July. Many other trips as well. You can check out details, a list of all the trips and the cost and the itinerary and so on online at butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tours is a local company. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around for more than 75 years. Online at butlerbus.com. butlerbus.com.
There were lots of famous duels in history, but ours involves pianos, not pistols. Connecting to Tomorrow presents Piano Maniacs, dueling piano show on Saturday, April 13th at the Lindora Legion. Tickets are $20 each and can be purchased at the door, Butler Radio Network, or online at Eventbrite. Doors open at 6 and the fun starts at 7. It's BYOB, must be 21 or older, and food will be available. Proceeds benefit C2T's teen mentoring program. So come join the fun on Saturday, April 13th for our Dueling Pianos event.
Tanglewood is a nonprofit community and the home of Butler Senior Center. It provides an outstanding venue for receptions, anniversaries, dinners, and dances, as well as being a great place for vendor shows, exercise classes, or meetings. Tanglewood features three different halls that can accommodate as many as 300 people. Going to have snacks or a meal at your event? Feel free to bring in your own, choose a caterer, or call on Chef George, Tanglewood's in-house caterer. Learn more at 287-0021.
Join the Butler County Symphony for the season finale and a special Sunday matinee concert this Sunday, April 14th. The concert is entitled Fire and Water. Hear selections from Stravinsky, Mahler, and Debussy. Concert begins at 3 p.m. Butler Intermediate High School. Following the concert, you're invited to celebrate 70 years of the Butler Symphony. Tickets available at the Symphony office on the Diamond, downtown Butler, or online at butlersymphony.org. It's the season finale of the Butler Symphony this Sunday, 3 p.m. at Butler Intermediate High School Auditorium. For Dr. Robert Waltrip, a physician with Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, Dr. Waltrip, I just thought of something. Sometimes when you're watching a football game or something like that, you hear about an athlete that suffers a shoulder separation. It sounds horrible. Is that an accurate description of the injury? And what exactly happens when someone has a shoulder separation?
So a shoulder separation is different than a dislocation. A lot of people get those things confused. A dislocation, first of all, would involve the ball separating from the socket. A shoulder separation is different. A shoulder separation often occurs from an athlete landing on the top of their shoulder, and it separates the collarbone from the bone adjacent to it. The collarbone goes over and meets, it's called the acromion bone at the top of the shoulder, and the entire arm or the shoulder girdle droops downwards. That's a shoulder separation. Fortunately, shoulder separations most of the time can be treated without any type of surgery. Patients basically take a break, avoid contact, and do some therapy, and they're often better. It's only the very high-grade separations that we have to do any type of stabilization procedure for.
You hear this a lot, especially when a quarterback gets sacked, you know, by a 350-pound lineman or something like that, and they come down on their shoulder. So,
yes, that can certainly happen.
What about patient satisfaction with shoulder surgery? We've talked in some detail about rotator cuff repair and also shoulder replacement. What are the outcomes generally? Now, obviously, this is going to vary a bit from patient to patient, but generally pretty good outcomes, doctor?
I would say for patients with small and medium-sized rotator cuff tears, they generally do very well. Patients with larger or massive rotator cuff tears can be a bit more problematic to get them to heal, especially if the patient happens to be a diabetic or a smoker. But all in all, the success rates for rotator cuff repair are much higher than they used to be. We have newer techniques now to allow for stronger fixation of rotator cuff tears to give them a better chance of healing. As far as shoulder replacement surgery goes, I would say those patients are some of the happiest patients in my practice. Patients with shoulder replacements come back and they are amazed how well they're doing most of the time. I would say that it's a life-changing event for people that have really bad shoulder arthritis when you take away that pain they've had for a long time.
Listeners, Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers is a multi-specialty physician practice. I have 23 physicians. It's owned as a joint venture of UPMC and Butler Health System. What about insurance, Dr. Tri-Rivers? You participate in network provided with most major insurance carriers, right?
Yes, we take just about any insurance, including all UPMC products and Highmark products.
The website, if you want more information, TriRiversMSK.com. TriRiversMSK.com. And if you're interested in consulting with Dr. Robert Waltrip, with whom we've been chatting today, could you once again give us your three primary clinical sites, Dr. Waltrip?
Yes, I work out of the Butler Health System Crossroads campus. That's on Route 38 at the intersection of Routes 422 and 68. I also work out of the Cranberry and Mars office, which is on Route 228. I finally work at the Lemieux Sports Center a half a day a week.
Dr. Waltrip, nice to talk with you again. Thanks much. Very informative today. Good to talk with you.
Thank you.
Dr. Robert Waltrip, our guest. He's one of the best, talking about shoulder injuries especially. And we thank our earlier guests, too. Chef George Schroth and Bill Reichert visiting with us here today. No sports tonight on WISR. That's a rarity. It's because the Pirates have a scheduled off day in Chicago, and the Penguins don't begin the Stanley Cup playoffs till tomorrow night. We'll have Penguin hockey tomorrow night live from New York as the Pens open up against the Islanders. We hope to see you tomorrow at 12:30. For the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Easter is just around the corner, which can only mean one thing. It's fish fry season. Lenten fish fries are a Butler tradition, with many churches, fire departments, and social clubs offering weekly dinners of baked or fried fish, complete with side dishes and homemade desserts. To make it easy to find local fish fries, we're putting together a fish fry guide at butlerradio.com. If you're looking to enjoy a great fish dinner and support local organizations, click the banner at butlerradio.com. And if your organization is hosting a fish fry, pierogi sale, bake sale, or other